Blog Talk Radio.
This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
We want to welcome everyone here tonight. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle, your host, along with my brother, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, and Pastor Billy Painter. We'll be with you this evening. Again, thank you for joining us, and we're going to get right into the subject here. Just a little introduction before the news. Of course, I talked to Brother Billy before the program this evening, and of course it was, I told him, I said, listen, there's so much happening in the news right now, don't be overwhelmed. There are so many prophetic events and important things going on across the world right now that have significance when it comes to Bible prophecy, when it comes to just our lives and how we're going to live our lives. But of course, everyone that's been on Facebook and you're tuning into this program tonight, or you've received a text or an email about this program, you know, we're going to talk about the soon fall of America, the United States of America, and the rise of the beast. I know that may be a broad subject, and we have kind of touched on the rise of the UN as the coming world government and what all that means from Bible prophecy, but my heart was just heavy these last few days, and there have been some prophetic things that have happened, that have taken place, some dreams that God gave me in 2008, and then again some different dreams in 2012, 2013 that I've shared online, that have, even some of them have gone viral, and just hundreds of thousands of people have read the article about the attack coming, that I feel like the Lord revealed about an attack, a nuclear attack coming on the United States of America. I've written extensively about it. Of course, almost a year ago, September 7th of 2013, I was invited to speak at a Sermon Index conference in just north of Atlanta, Georgia. And, of course, they wanted me to share about this prophetic, these prophetic dreams about a nuclear attack and about the fall of America. And I, of course, preface everything with this. Don't anyone out there think for one second that I do not love my country. Again, we have people listening from all over, from Europe and Australia and Canada and everywhere. I get emails and Facebook contacts from all over the world. And tonight, of course, this is a little bit more focused on the United States. But I don't want anyone to think that I don't love my country and appreciate the blessings that God has given to the United States. We've had many years, many, many years of prosperity, blessing, peace and freedom, but of course our country, and particularly the Christians, the church in our country, has really taken that for granted, and we are very, very close here to sending away our day of grace, I believe, and we're in trouble of God's judgment and really Him removing His hand and allowing our enemies, and we have many enemies in the world, some that are just enemies because they're evil, others because we have done evil and we deserve their hatred. We haven't been a perfect country when it comes to our morals, or even when we at times go forth to wage war or even covert wars. There's things that we've done that are not good and immoral. A lot of Americans always want to act like we're always on the side of good and we're always have a just cause, but we don't always do. And so God, in His mercy, He's held back judgment, I believe, on America for some time now. But as a man of God, as a minister of the gospel, as a called to be a prophet, God has given me deep revelations and warnings, and not just to me only. There are many, many prophets, men and women of God across the United States that have been hearing the same thing for many years. Even the late David Wilkerson saw the destruction of America. And so that's why in my description of this program tonight, I said America will be attacked, we will be crippled, and we will be brought under United Nations control. I believe in God's mercy that he will not bring us to a full end. But this is something that's really hard for Americans to grasp, as I would think it would be for most great empires, that there is a day when the empire falls. And unfortunately, I believe our day has come. And I'm just here tonight to announce this to Christians and to those who are listening, and hopefully to pastors who have congregations, that we will humble ourselves and we will get on our knees and we will begin to pray and confess our sins and repent and pray that the prayer of Habakkuk in Habakkuk chapter 3, that in God's wrath, in the season of judgment, that he will remember mercy, and even in the midst of that time, that he will revive his work, that he will move again. And I will add this before we break and go to the news, that I want everyone to know that I'm not all about gloom and doom as a minister of the gospel or as a prophet. I know bad things are coming. I know judgment is coming. I know we are in trouble as a nation and the world, for that matter. We are entering into a time of great tribulation such as never was since there was a nation. The entire world will be affected by what is coming, what Jesus foretold would come in the end times. But I also believe that in the midst of those dark days, in the midst of great trial, in the midst of great darkness, that God will move upon his people who will confess their sins, who will repent, humble themselves, and pray, and that God will begin to move and bring a revival of his work, a genuine move of God, a genuine work of God in the darkest hour of the church and of human history, really, that's coming upon this world. So this is not a message of no hope. I believe Jesus is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh, as he promised in the last days, that sons and daughters would prophesy, that young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams, that again he would revive his work of healing and miracles and deliverance from demon spirits. I mean, we just saw an article just yesterday evening, where three young people were hospitalized because they became possessed after playing with a Ouija board. So even the world, this was in the UK Daily Telegraph, about these teenagers who got to playing with the Ouija board and opened the door to demon spirits and were tormented and vexed and taken over and growling and uncontrollable and having hallucinations and everything else. And they had to be, they were injured and injuring themselves, and they had to be hospitalized. And, of course, I shared this on Facebook, that many years ago when I was a youth pastor, I had a 15-year-old girl play with a Ouija board, and I told them not to play with these occult things and with witchcraft. But of course, she went to a party and everybody else was doing it, and so she started playing with the Ouija board. And she comes to church on Wednesday night, on the next Wednesday night, and of course she runs out of the service screaming. They find her back in another dark room in a corner growling, and when she looks at us, her eyes have changed into cat's eyes. And, of course, you know, the teenagers who knew what she did were telling me, she went and played with that Ouija board. You told her not to, but she went and played. And so I just turned and looked and said, you see, this is what happens when you play with the devil's stuff. And so, of course, we went and bound the demons and then cast out the demons that were in her in Jesus' name. And after we got her to repent of the sin of witchcraft and divination, and she got set free by the power of Jesus. But listen, folks, more and more, we're going to need to be a people, the church is going to need to rise up and be a people who can flow in the power of the Holy Spirit, who can be filled and ready in this dark hour. See, that's why I don't believe that Jesus is going to take the church out of here. Why would he take the light out of here? Why would he take the people he's prepared to be a light and a witness, why would he take them at the time that they're needed the most? I mean, that just doesn't make sense anyway. We are going to have 7 years of great tribulation, as the Bible says, and then he's going to take us. No, I don't believe that for a second. We will be here. We will be here to deal with all the problems, but we're here. Jesus is not leaving his people here to be tormented and vexed. He's leaving us here to be a light and a witness and a voice and a channel of his power and his presence. To preach the gospel and to lead people to Jesus all the way to the end. But America will not be unscathed. The rest of the world, they're going to rejoice when we're crippled. And we'll look at the scriptures about this, but I know it's coming, and I'll share why in just a minute. The dream, part of the dream that I had back in 2012, part of that already I just saw in the news yesterday has come to pass. And then my wife had a dream this past week that I believe God has given the interpretation and the revelation that really we are running out of time, and things are about to take a turn, and not for the better when it comes to attacks on America, terrorism, war in the Middle East, things of that nature, what's going on with Islam. So anyway, I want you to stay with us. We're going to be back in just a second with the news. Pastor Billy Painter will be doing the news for us. So stay with us, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Bible prophecy, current events, and prophetic revelation. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. It's time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
This is the news for June 24th, 2014. Alaska's 8.0 earthquake recently adds to the increased strains on the tectonic plates of the region, and increased activity in the Ring of Fire area continues worldwide. The Washington Times reports that ISIS has a focus on building an Islamic State to be a launching pad for attacks upon the U.S. Kidnappings in Nigeria continue. 60 girls and women, 31 boys are said to be abducted. More than 270 Nigerian schoolgirls are still being held by Boko Haram 2 months after their kidnapping. Muslim hackers are reported to be plotting a major attack on Big Oil, a hacker group calling itself Adnan Ghost has claimed responsibility for defacing hundreds of websites and doxing 500 names and credit card numbers in their religiously motivated cyber attack campaign. This group is planning further cyber attacks on gas corporations in the U.S. The self-described Muslim hackers claim that they have defaced hundreds of sites to protest American imperialism and the global dominance of the greenback. Secretary of State John Kerry said last week that one of his goals is to ensure that LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgenders, ambassadors would represent the United States abroad. He states that he wants to accomplish this before his tenure comes to a close. Convert to Islam or face the sword. Iraqi Christians continue today to flee the Iraqi cities captured by the invading extremists, who are slaughtering all of those who do not convert. At Bolivia's G77 plus China summit, over 100 of the world's most communistic, Islamic, and socialistic leaders gathered together to demand what they call New World Order to live well. Ban Ki-moon, the head of the United Nations, participated in the summit, which focused on forcing global governance on all of humanity. At the summit, they admitted to using the global warming lie to further their agenda. More and more politicians on both sides of the floor are now warning of an imminent nuclear strike on U.S. soil. Recently released Infowars.com video asked the question, what does Obama and Dick Cheney know about the U.S. getting nuked that the rest of us don't? I suggest you check out the video on Infowars.com. It's a very good piece that was done by them. There are reports surfacing of numerous requests for emergency crisis actors in cities across the country on Craigslist. These are requests for individuals to participate in emergency drills in cities across the nation. Can anyone say false flag? Anthrax handling blunder in Atlanta. Borders wide open for a minion of potential terrorists. Washington, D.C. dealing out a daily basis of deception and corruption. America is ripe for a fall. That's the news. I'm Pastor Billy Painter.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter. Audio messages, you can search Dean Odell on iTunes or go to blogtalkradio.com/Dean Odell and go to archive episodes. Right, we are back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake, and I'm Pastor Dean Odell, along here with Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. We welcome you. This is an outreach of Fire and Grace Church here in the Opelika, Auburn area in East Central Alabama, and again, we welcome you. Tonight, we're talking about, and of course, the news articles go along with the theme this evening about the coming attack on America. Now, let me just say, as we get into this tonight, that we are a church and a ministry that believes that the Holy Spirit still speaks to his church, that God gives the gift of prophecy to his people, and he gives revelation, discernment, visions, dreams that are of prophetic nature, that do foretell events, also give wisdom and things that we ought to do. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, I know that the Bible is first and foremost our guide. It's our foundation, the Word of God from Genesis to Malachi and Matthew to Revelation. That's our guide, and it is the inspired and infallible Word of Almighty God, the Creator, and the Lord Jesus Christ. No question about that. We're to read the Word, meditate on the Word of God, know the Bible as well as we possibly can. But we have to remember that God, our God, the Creator, and the Lord Jesus, that God is a living God. And Jesus said that he would speak to his people and that he would send his Holy Spirit. And this is in the Gospel of John 16. He would send his Holy Spirit to speak to us and to show us things to come. And that's why we have the promise. You know, there are those out there in the world called cessationists that believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the supernatural and the miracles of Jesus stopped when, you know, after the first century or when the apostles died, all kind of nonsense they come up with. But I always ask them, I said, then why did God say in the last days, in Acts chapter 2, he said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. So the promise of the gifts of the Spirit continue on to the last days, to the coming of Jesus. And so God gives us these things. And as we see in the Scriptures, we can go all the way back to the Old Testament, the time of Pharaoh, when God gave even an unsaved heathen a prophetic dream about a famine that was coming, that there would be 7 good years, and then there would be 7 bad years. And, of course, he had a symbolic dream of that, and son of Israel, Joseph, of course, interpreted those dreams. We see King Nebuchadnezzar, who, again, another heathen, pagan king, not even born again, not even a believer, a follower of Yahweh. We see him given a dream of end-time events, and Daniel interpreting that dream, the prophet Daniel, of course, the Hebrew prophet,
interpreting those dreams. So God even gave dreams to unsaved heathen rebels to give prophetic revelation about what was going to come. And then we see over in the New Testament the very same thing. We see it with Joseph and Mary. When Joseph was going to put away Mary, when he found out she was pregnant, and she, you know, he was going to divorce her, you know, quietly, put her away. And, of course, the angel came and told her, "Fear not, for what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And so, of course, we know later that when Jesus was born, again an angel came to Joseph in a dream and warned him to flee into Egypt to keep the child, Jesus, safe from Herod, who sought to kill him. So God is a God who uses dreams and visions. Sometimes the dreams and visions have symbolic things that he has to later show us the interpretation of those things. This has happened many times in my life when I've had prophetic words. That's just when God speaks to you. I've had prophetic visions where God either allows you to see a vision with your eyes open, and you see it with both your physical and spiritual eyes, which many call an open vision, or you can see it with your eyes closed while you're praying, and you just see like a movie play for a few seconds, and God gives a vision of something that way. Of course, the way we discern prophetic revelation, prophetic words, prophetic visions, prophetic dreams is all by the Scriptures and letting the Holy Spirit give us understanding. Anything that's contrary to the Bible, we have to eliminate as not being from God, because he will not contradict his word. But, of course, there's many things that are not in the word. I tell people all the time, you know, when the Lord spoke to me in 2008 when I was in Washington, D.C., pastoring a church there, when he spoke to me to move, he told me the church there would fire me because I wouldn't go along with their compromise. But when he told me the church would fire me on November 30th, and when they did, to go back to Auburn, where I grew up, and start a church. Now, that's not written in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that says, "Dean, go to Auburn, Alabama, and start a church." So you have to know the Holy Spirit, and you have to know, you have some intimacy with Jesus and some time in prayer and fasting so you can recognize his voice. But I believe any Christian can if they really want to and they hunger and desire. But I remember God, his word came to pass, because on November 30th they fired me, and then I knew that it was the word of the Lord for sure. He confirmed it, and I moved to Auburn and started a church. And, of course, we have a church here in the Auburn-Opelika area, but our church now spans far beyond just this little area here. We are a small church, but God is using us in nations all over the world. And that, I just want to say, God is good. It pays to obey. Amen. But getting into this, and the reason I kind of needed to give that setup is because a lot of people have been taught wrong when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit and prophecy. Even in the charismatic church, you know, there's a teaching that prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is really not for foretelling things. It's just about encouragement and exhortation and comfort. But when I look at the New Testament prophet Agabus in Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 21, I see a man who knew things before they happened and shared that with the church, and the church was able to prepare. So I have a word for the church in America, and it's a serious thing, but it is judgment is coming to our land. I have seen a vision. Back in December of 2011, I saw a vision while I was awake with my eyes open. I saw a vision of the East Coast and the West Coast of the United States destroyed. I saw cities, large cities, destroyed, burning. I saw them. And I just peppered down the East Coast of the United States, down the West Coast. That didn't mean, of course, I don't think that means that there will be no cities in the interior of the country hit by either terrorism or attacks, but I just saw that the devastation would be on the East and the West Coast. That was while I was at work one day on December 7th, actually, 2011, and it so shook me. I got home. I shared with my wife the vision I had seen. She had picked up an old book that I had read over 20 years ago, a book by Kenneth E. Hagin called I Believe in Visions. And we just picked up and said, well, we'll just read some of this book tonight. And so she, we sat down on the couch and we opened, I just opened to where she had left off, where she had marked, and it started a new chapter. And I can't remember now if it was chapter 2 or 3, but it was a vision that Brother Kenneth Hagin had while he was doing a tent revival in Rockwall, Texas in 1950, where he went into a trance and had an open vision of an angel riding a horse up to him, giving him a scroll, telling him to read. And it is exactly what I saw it confirmed. He said war and destruction was at the top of the scroll, that he saw in America many, many troops. They weren't American troops. He saw many, many cities destroyed, burned out. He said skyscrapers burned out hulls. And, of course, some people say, well, that happened on 9/11. No, he said cities, not a city. And so I believe the prophecy that he had was pertaining to this time. One of the things within that same prophecy, he said that there would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There would be many miracles. And following that, there would be a counter move of false miracles and deception and false prophets. We've seen that over the last couple of several decades since he gave that vision. But I believe we're moving into the season now. The Holy Spirit is saying that war and destruction and judgment is coming to the United States of America. It's a serious matter. And the people of God, especially, and anyone listening, I know it doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not, you can hear what I'm saying. God is lifting his hand off of the United States. He's going to back away. He's going to allow certain things to take place. We have many enemies. They're even within our own government. Let me just fast forward and move on to 2008 to set this all up. And I'm just really going to share my heart tonight about this and share some of the prophetic revelation because, you know, just as Brother Billy shared the news article about now we're seeing U.S., you know, former U.S. political leaders, some now in politics saying, America's going to be attacked. America's going to be attacked. America's going to be. The reason I believe they know that is because they're in on it. A lot of them are in on the plan to bring us down. And see, here's the plan, folks. The plan of the global elite, both American traitors in our government, both Obama, Clinton, Bush, the Bush family. We could go down the list, but all the people within the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, the people who are Illuminati, that are Satanists, that are globalists, they have been undermining the United States for a long time to break us down more and more, to turn us into a socialist country, but ultimately to bring us under a socialistic, communistic world government via the UN. That has been the goal. And that is still their goal. And you have to understand that these people are ruthless. And they're not loyal to the United States. They're not loyal to the Constitution. They're not loyal to the God of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ. They are only loyal to Satan, to Lucifer, to their own desires and their own lust. And they are very evil at the core. I mean, I'll just put it plainly, whether, you know, if in this next election we get Hillary or Jeb Bush, or we're screwed either way. I mean, that's not really a choice. We're getting Illuminati or Illuminati. I mean, it's disgusting. And whoever it is will finish our country off, even if something happens and we don't see an election in 2016. And Obama manages to stay in office by declaring martial law, and we're still screwed. Either way, we're screwed as Americans. There's been recent reports. Of course, I think we shared a little bit about this last week. There was a gentleman who was traveling across South Alabama into South Georgia and filmed semi-trucks carrying armored UN vehicles in our southern states here. Now, folks, you got to stop and ask a question. What on earth would the United States of America need the UN to have armored vehicles here? Now, it's going to get even creepier because last night I was up very late and I had a friend of mine send me something that was posted on Hal Lindsey's Facebook page. This person took pictures of the port in South Carolina, one of the ports, I can't remember which one now, but one of the ports in South Carolina, them offloading these trucks, again, armored vehicles, but these were tan in color and had a red Islamic crescent on them. Now, of course, I know from doing a little research into this that this red Islamic crescent is supposed to be the Islamic version of the Red Cross, but why armored vehicles? And then as I looked into this a little further, come to find out that there's just hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. There was a line of them on a train as far as the eye could see in one video that a gentleman put on YouTube. This troubles me more, seeing the Islamic symbol on armored vehicles in the United States than seeing the UN vehicles. But folks, that article, that, and we're going to look at it in a second a little more, that Pastor Billy shared a minute ago about the UN meeting of the G77, they're fully intent upon bringing down and crippling the United States and bringing us into a one-world government. And in the article, it plainly said the only thing that stands in the way of them and the rest of the world having their world communistic government is the Congress of the United States of America. And that is why Obama hates the Congress. He hates the Constitution. He hates Christians. He hates anyone that's a patriot, that's for freedom, for our right to bear arms, for freedom of speech, freedom of the press. They cannot bear the Constitution and bring about what they want to bring about. And Americans right now, and I just hate to say it, most of the church in America is blind to the fact that these people have taken over and that they are slowly, and really faster now, but that they are taking over the country. And we know there are Russian troops here. We know that China is going to be involved. And I just want to tell you, are you ready, United States citizen, Christian? Are you ready to find yourself under the hand of Russian, Chinese, German peacekeepers? And I say peacekeepers in quotes. Are you ready to have your rights, the Constitution, completely just a thing of memory, the past? Are you ready for groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS to awaken their cells and use these armored trucks with the crescent of Islam and begin a mass terrorization of our country? Not to mention the Mexican drug lords who are having their way with our southern border. Not to mention the Islamic terrorists, Hezbollah, Hamas, ISIS, you name your group, Al-Qaeda, that are just anytime they want moving across our southern borders. This is documented. These are facts. These are Border Patrol agent facts. Well documented in the documentary that The Blaze and Glenn Beck put out called Rumors of War, Part 1, 2, and 3. Very well done. Well documented. We're being invaded slowly, a little bit at a time. Our laws are being undermined. Listen, the only reason I believe that terrorists haven't awakened their cells in America, there's only two reasons that I believe we haven't already seen the unleash to bring down the United States, the final push, is because of the sovereign mercy and hand of God holding it back, and because they know that most American citizens are armed. Those two things have held back this plan for some time, but it's not going to be held back much longer. As we heard a moment ago, can anyone say false flag? How about not just false flag, but just helping our enemies by doing nothing, to stop their plans? It's kind of like this thing with Iran and the nuclear weapons. They're trying to get a nuclear bomb. And we know if they get a nuclear bomb, they will use it against Israel. They want to wipe Israel off the map. They will use it against us if they can. They want to destroy us. And we sit around and we play patty cake with them and allow them to continue to enrich uranium for years now and to develop this technology while we play political games. No, if you really wanted to protect America and Americans and the rest of the world, you would do something about the Iranian nuclear program. We would do something about these other problems in the world. But, of course, it's all a matter of chaos, allowing the chaos so you can work your will in that chaos and then walk up like you have the answer. And the answer is going to be, we got to bring everyone under submission to the United Nations and to, we got to disarm everybody. And that is the goal of Barack Hussein Obama. That is the goal of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton. That is the goal of Jeb Bush and George W. and Herbert Walker Bush. That is the goal of these people, Tony Blair, David Cameron, you name it. That is their goal, the Rockefellers. We could just keep naming names. Their goals, most of your senators, a lot of your congressmen, their goal is to undermine the United States. And you know where that leaves you, American citizen, particularly if you're a Christian? That leaves you a nice warm cot in a FEMA camp if you don't go along with the plan, or a bullet in the back of the head, or, your head chopped off. That's where that leaves you. And some people say, you're just crazy, man. You're just full of hype. No. You don't understand. Your country is eroding from underneath you. The only answer, they've already taken it. The only answer is the power of Jesus Christ. Do you have him in your life? Do you have a relationship with the God of creation through the crucifixion, the blood of his son Jesus Christ and his resurrection? Do you have that power in your life? Because that's going to be the only refuge. That's going to be the only power that's able to deliver you and to provide for you and your family. Oh, yes, you should do some things to prepare yourself for what's coming. But the bottom line, no matter how well you prepare, you're still going to be in situations that are coming for America and Americans beyond your power, your ability, your supplies, beyond that to deal with it. See, I'm going to share this, and then I'm going to let my brothers break in here if they want to. But I'm going to share this. The vision, prophetic dream I had, this was, and for some reason these dates are going from, I think this was in 2012, maybe in 2012, because it was about a year later that I had a second one. But this one, I had a dream where a United States city was hit by a nuclear attack. And I was just on the outskirts of where the blast radius. And in the dream, I was working for the government, and it was my job to contact the president and coordinate our response to this attack. And so when it happened, I had a radio, and I got on the radio, and this radio was a direct line to President Obama. And I got on the line, and he answered, and then as we were talking, and I began to ask him what his response was going to be to our enemies who did this. And when I started asking him, the phone went dead, the radio went dead. Well, I thought, I just thought it went dead, but I got no response. But I knew where he was in the city, so I ran through the city streets and city blocks, and I went, I don't know how long it took, 15, 20, 30 minutes, but I knew where he was. I knew he was at a restaurant of some kind. So I walk into this place, and the restaurant's like a cafeteria. People go through a line with trays, and they get their food, and you come and sit down. And they were sitting down at these round tables. And I remember these round tables because at Opelika High School, where I went to high school, that was the type of lunch tables we had, these big round tables. About 6, 7, 8 people could sit around these big round tables and have lunch. And so he was sitting at one of these round tables, and there was kind of a rope between us, one of those little like movie ropes or whatever at the theater. But I was only about 10 or 15 feet away, and I was trying to get his attention, and I was being respectful, and I was saying, "Mr. President, what is our response? What are we going to do?" And he was sitting there, and he was He was eating his lunch, and he would not even look up. He heard me loud and clear. He would not even acknowledge me. He wasn't talking to anyone around him. And anyway, I kept getting louder. Mr. President, what is going to be our response? And as I got louder and louder, deep within me, I knew he's not going to do anything. He's not going to do a thing. We're going to be completely destroyed because he won't do anything. About that time, and you have to remember, in the dream, I was working for him. I was working for the government. I had a job. This was my job. He was supposed to respond to me. We were supposed to work together to protect the country. And he wouldn't even acknowledge me at this point. So he sends a staffer over to start giving me some lame liberal reason why we weren't going to respond to this situation. And I got even more frustrated. Well, about that time, he sent somebody else over, and there was a woman who had joined me to protest this thing, and the staffer he sent over, she looked like that CNN woman, Candy Crowley or whatever, the one that did the interview, the debate. But anyway, they arrested us and put us in a holding cell. And so, but I knew I wasn't going to be in there long, and of course I was released, but that was the end of the dream. And it was after that that I knew the United States is going to be attacked and Obama is not going to do anything. And then the revelation and realization came. The reason he's not going to do anything is because he's complicit. He's part of the plan. He's always been part of the plan to bring us down. He's just a puppet of his Illuminati masters. And that's just the way it is. It isn't a black-white thing. Don't even go there. He is a puppet just like George W. was a puppet, Herbert Walker. Bush was a puppet, Bill Clinton, puppets. They're puppets of the bankers, of the Illuminati, of the Satanists, of the powerful people that really run this world. And they've been doing a little bit at a time. And the only thing that's been standing in the way is the people of the United States has been standing in the way, who demand freedom, who, you know, determine elections once in a while. And who, you know, throw a monkey wrench in the plans and slow it down. But they know they're about to run us over. And so, anyway, that was the dream that I had and the vision that I had. Well, yesterday, and this is what's so powerful and why I'm sharing this tonight, and of course our show's called Prophecy Quake. We're about not just the Bible prophecy, but also the gift of prophecy in the church, in the people of God. And so tonight's a little bit about the gift of prophecy. But last night, I saw an article posted. I can't remember the people that posted it, but it was about when yesterday or the day before that President Obama just decided to get up and walk out of the White House and walk down to, I guess it was the Chipotle restaurant or whatever they call it there. And he walked by, the reporters are all, he said, the bear's loose. And he walked by, and he, you know, the Secret Service and everybody's hoopla, and he goes down to this restaurant and goes in, and guess what? It's a cafeteria setting. You go through a line like that. You go, and he was sitting, the picture was, he was sitting at the round table, lunch table, just like I saw in my dream. And when I saw that last night, it hit me hard. We are getting so very close to this event that is going to change the United States of America forever. And very close. Matter of fact, my heart is so very burdened for my people here in the United States, for the church in the United States. We're so not ready for what is about to happen. We've been consumed with entertainment and vacations and TV and movies and what Jay-Z and Beyonce are doing, and we don't read our Bibles and we don't pray and we don't hear from the Holy Spirit. And then our pastors are so worried about numbers and money and tithes and offerings and the next building program and everything else. We're so worried about all that that we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. We're not discerning the times and the seasons that we're living in, and so many are not ready. We're not ready. If the power grid went to the ground tomorrow, people are not ready. What if you couldn't go to the store for a couple of months. Simple things like water, water purification, a little extra food on hand. But what about just the reality, the revelation of maybe I need to turn the TV off and get on my knees and pray for God's protection over me and my family, for God to forgive us of our terrible sins of lukewarmness and idolatry. And listen, we've all committed it. I'm not sitting up here in this radio show going, oh, you know, our church is perfect and we don't struggle with these things. No, our church has struggled, even though I preach hard and fast and continuously, we still have the same problems that other churches have. This people having the same struggles with sin, with lukewarmness, with getting, just getting dry and getting, you know, letting the culture pull them away from time with God and intimacy with God. But one thing I can say is God just stays on me. It's coming, son. It's coming. He started warning me in 2008. It's coming. Everything's going to change. Prepare my people. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Warn them. Prepare them. A lot of people, when I started talking about these things in 2008, and of course, you know, we had an insider friend that worked for DHS. That's how we found out about the FEMA camps. We didn't find about it on the internet. A direct source in DHS leaked this to us. When I started digging and saw the confirmation and the funding, Halliburton funded to build these things, I began realizing that the plan to bring the United States down, to imprison and kill Christians, to deal with anyone who opposes the New World Order, the New World Government, submission to the United Nations and the new government, World Federation, whatever they're going to call it. When I saw how far along these plans were, that's why DHS has purchased billions of rounds of ammunition. That's why they're equipping the police and all their federal agencies with armored vehicles and everything else. It ain't for ICE and DHS try to say it's for the illegal immigrants, these camps they're building. Really? You don't even want to try to keep them out of the country or deport them. You're going to let them in the country. You're busing them to cities across the United States. No, that's not what it's about. And that's what a DHS agent told my wife to her face. They're building these camps, and I know they're for Christians. A DHS, Department of Homeland Security agent, told my wife in 2008 they are building these camps, and they are for Christians. And she said, you would not believe the anti-Christian spirit, the Antichrist spirit that the Department of Homeland Security is full of. No, friend, we're in trouble. Big trouble. It's about to come down on you, your head, your family. We have friends in Philadelphia who listen to us and listen to our church services and our podcast and so on and so forth. And one godly lady up there was sharing with us dreams that she's had of getting on a bus in Philly. And a Muslim driver grins at her with an evil grin. And she knows, get off. The Lord speaks to her, get off the bus. And the bus explodes. She had dreams of Muslims going through the streets shooting people. In Philly. You hear what I'm saying? God is warning his people. Are you listening out there? Amos 3:7, the Lord promises, the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. He warns, the sword is coming, the famine is coming, the plague is coming. Anthrax will be released in our country. The Lord has spoken to me, watch Portland, Oregon. We have an 8.0 earthquake in Alaska. Hear what I'm saying, folks. Time to get ready. Brothers, y'all want to chime in?
Well, a couple of things that kind of are on my thought pattern. You know, it's the old analogy of like a frog placed in a cold water pot. You know, this stuff has been going on for a long time. The plans to bring America to its knees didn't just start yesterday. And that cold water in that pot is now up to a boil. And the sad thing about it is the dumbing down of America continues. You know, people are, like you and I were talking about before the show today on the phone, people are mesmerized by the deception and the clutter that has been propagated upon them. They are in their own zombified, stupefied world. I mean, you can see the signs of things that are happening, even people in the secular world. There are some who are awakened enough to say, hey, man, stuff is not right. Something's wrong. But there are so many people that are completely oblivious to what's going on. And that's part of the plan, too, to dumb down America. And it has worked. You know, from everything from taking God out of the school systems and taking God out of the workplace and focusing on breaking up families to changing the educational setup for our children. I mean, this core thing in schools now, it's not a good thing. But yet people go like blind sheep right along with it. Oh, the government's good. Everything's great. Those things that are happening to people in another country, that's not our country. My friends, people that are listening tonight, if you think for one moment that the kidnappings in Nigeria, the beheadings in the Middle East, the bombings and the persecutions of Christians worldwide is not going to happen to you in America, you're stupid. Wake up. Wake up. It's coming to America. And in fact, in some ways, it's already here, as Pastor Dean was saying. It's already here. You have to wake up. We love our country, but our country has changed. Our country is not run by the people you think runs our country. Sadly, it hasn't been for a long time. God's mercy and his protective hand upon us is the only reason why we're here today. And as Pastor Dean said earlier also, it's time for true, born-again, Holy Spirit-filled Christians to get on their knees and pray to God for strength, discernment, a fresh anointing and outpouring of the power and authority that he has given us to carry on his earthly ministry. I have not heard it put any better than what you said, Dean, when you said, it makes no sense at all for God to pull us out of here when we're the light that he's shining through. It's time, people, to wake up to the situations and circumstances around you, and it's time to get honest about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
You know, and too, talking about Obama being complicit in all this, there's a WorldNet Daily article today. The headline is Obama Greasing the Skids of U.S. Decline. And here's a quote in here from Rush Limbaugh. Says, I'm becoming more and more convinced that Obama's not just satisfied with managing America's decline. I think Obama's greasing the skids. I think Obama is trying to hasten America's decline. How else can you interpret the parade of bad news that we face every day?
Wow.
That's so true. It is every day.
I mean, that right there, of course, Rush Limbaugh is not even into some of the things that we're willing to talk about. I mean, he didn't even go there, and I don't even know if he believes it. And I know I think his brother may be a Christian, but I don't believe Rush. I mean, Rush may say he is. I don't know. I just don't. I've never seen it. I've never heard it from him that he really knows the Lord intimately. But for him to say that, you know, it looks intentional. Come on, folks. I mean, there you are. There's the 20 million a day radio audience leading radio guy in the country going, hey, I think this guy, Obama, is truly helping America go down the hill. And you can't interpret it any other way. How do you always find yourself on the wrong side, Mr. Obama? I mean, how are you always supporting the terrorists, the Muslim Brotherhood, the ISIS freedom fighters in so-called freedom fighters in Syria, who are now killing Christians left and right, shooting everyone in the head, cutting people's heads off, trying to take Iraq. And now, of course, they threaten to move into Jordan. Now, I know that they weren't going to be able to succeed in taking Jordan. You watch what happens, because I believe that's the home of the Antichrist. They've gone a little too far now. Of course, the other day I laughed out loud when I saw two of the ISIS jihadists threatening and wanting to cut off the head of the Prime Minister of England, David Cameron's head. I said, they don't know who they're dealing with. These are the Illuminati boys. You stop serving their purpose and start threatening them. They have nuclear weapons that can actually reach you, and they will take you out. I just marvel, you know, these guys out in the deserts with AK-47s that think they're going to, you know, they're going to move into Jordan. And like I said, I had somebody email me about that, about ISIS threatening Jordan. I said, well, that's where the line will stop, because, of course, the United States, the Obama administration, will help the Jordanian royal family. And you know, that brings me to a good segue here. And, of course, I thought Israel will help Jordan as well, because they have a peace treaty with them, as well as the fact that it would help Israel to stop ISIS before ISIS succeeds in pressing into Jordan. But that's a good segue into something else I want to say. A lot of people are just, they're convinced that Obama is the Antichrist. And let me be clear with you, especially if you are a new listener or new to our ministry. I do not believe Obama is the Antichrist. I believe we've spelled that out. If you want to know more about that, we have a video on YouTube, The Antichrist Revealed. You just look up my name, Dean Odle, and you'll find it on YouTube. Also, we did a program a few weeks ago called Pope Francis, the Arab Prince, and the Coming Peace Treaty, and that will give you plenty of information about why Obama's not the Antichrist. But I'll tell you who Obama is. If you want to know who Obama, or if we get another American president, the final American president, before all this happens, I'll tell you who he or she will be. They will be one of the Ten Kings. I'm going to just look at this real quick, but if you go to Daniel chapter 7, you find out something very important about the beast. Now, the beast that's coming, the world government, it says that it will have 10 horns, right? And those 10 horns are 10 kings that will arise. And then the book of Daniel says, out of those 10 kings that rise to form this one world government, he says, out of that 10 kings, an 11th horn will rise, and he will be what's called the little horn, which is another term for the Antichrist, who will lead those other 10 kings, and he will lead the world government. And then, of course, we know we'll have a peace treaty. We'll look like we're going into a season of peace and trying to recover from the war that happens. And then, of course, we know at the midpoint of that 7 years that this Antichrist figure, this little horn, takes over. But what a lot of people miss in Daniel chapter 7 is it says when this 11th horn comes up, when the Antichrist comes to power, it says he will pluck up or subdue three kings. Okay? Now, if you look up the word pluck up, subdue there in the Hebrew, the original Hebrew, it means to hamstring or to cripple. So literally, this is what this gets ignored, because, of course, in the book of Revelation, chapter 17, we see that the 10 kings rise, and it says they give their power and their strength to the beast, the Antichrist, the world government. They give their strength and power to that beast. Basically, they help create it. But Daniel gives us the rest of the picture, that three of the very ones that were used to create the world government and bring the Antichrist to power, giving them their strength and power, he will cripple three of those kings or kingdoms. He will cripple them. Now, hear what I'm about to say to you, because this, I believe, is clear as the nose on your face. Three
countries that you would have to cripple to create a world government out of a revived Roman Empire, which the Roman Empire was both European and Middle Eastern. You had the East and the West of the Roman Empire. And to get a revived Roman Empire that's primarily, or a world government that's primarily controlled by Europe and Middle Eastern countries, to have that happen, you would have to deal with Russia, China, and the United States of America would have to be crippled somewhat. Not completely destroyed, but crippled. Now, I want to tell you right now, China, Russia, and the United States of America will end up fighting each other. We'll end up hit, destroyed. The United States will be crippled. So if it is under Obama's watch, which I believe it will be, then Obama is one of those 10 kings who is giving his power and strength to the beast, the world government, the European Illuminati, the Antichrist in the Middle East, and that's why you see what's happening. It's only what makes sense. And I believe Russia, we know from Ezekiel 38 and 39 that Russia, Gog and Magog, we know Russia will join with Persia, Turkey, the house of Togarma, Gomer, that's Turkey, and they will join with Lebanon and Syria. They will move against Israel, and we know that that Russia will not be completely destroyed because Ezekiel 38 and 39 says 1/6 of them will be left, but God will help Israel in that battle. And so we know that Russia will be crippled. And then, of course, we know from Revelation chapter 9 that there's a war called the Sixth Trumpet War that will start from the Euphrates River region, which is Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Iran, and that war kills 1/3 of mankind. Well, you don't kill 1/3 of mankind without the biggest country on the face of the earth, the 2 billion Chinese being involved. So hear what I'm saying to you. The United States will be crippled. I know this from the Holy Spirit. I know this from other prophets who have confirmed this word. I know this from the scriptures, and I know this just looking at the geopolitical situation. It's what has to be to get us to the end game of a European, Mideast-centered world government. Do you hear me? It's biblical, and it is not just feasible. That's why I knew, you mark it down, ISIS takes over a border crossing between Iraq and Jordan. What happens? Jordanian Air Force takes them out. The king of Jordan, King Abdullah II, immediately requests United States and Israeli assistance. The Jordanian royal family will go nowhere, but ISIS will. Into the history books here pretty soon. They keep threatening the plan. All right? You want to get even more wild. I believe it's a member of the Jordanian family who is the Antichrist. I believe it is a member of the Jordanian family who may become the next king of Iraq, seeing that his relative used to be the king of Iraq before Saddam Hussein had him murdered. So the heir to the throne of Iraq, the Jordanian royal family. Oh, amazing. ISIS has come in, destabilized everything. The U.S. is pulling out. Somebody's going to have to come in and be a man of peace and help settle down the Middle East after a great war, and he will do it. In the meantime, the United States will get involved in yet another Middle Eastern conflict. Russia will hit us because we will hit, and they will hit, and these will hit, and those will hit, and we have World War III, and then we have a peace treaty, but America comes out of it economically destroyed. Our cities decimated, probably more than likely by some submarine fire missiles from Russian submarines. and the United States will be forcefully brought under the control of the United Nations. And our leaders up there, both Republican and Democrat, who have sold us out, will hand us over on a silver platter. It just blows my mind. Listen, I want to say this. You're listening to Prophecy Quake here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pastor Dean Odle. If you have a comment or a question tonight, I meant to say this earlier, but if you have a comment or a question, please call in tonight. The number is at the top of your screen if you're looking at your computer, your phone, you're listening. But if you want to just know it, it's 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. I mean, really, we would love to hear from you tonight, hear what you think, have a question, a comment, a disagreement, or just something that you want to share with us. I want you to do that tonight. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. To Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Join us this Sunday morning at Fire and Grace Church right here in the Opelika, Auburn area. Our Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30 a.m. and we go live on Blog Talk Radio at 11 a.m. We would love to see you there. Our website is fireandgracechurch.org.
And start reading now. The moment will come when they will not allow distribution, possession of anything Christian. You'll go underground, a secret resistance, and face persecution, imprisoned and beaten. Now is the time to make your decision to battle his minions left on this earth, or fall for a false explanation. Prefer to be herded like sheep. The ancient delusion, the oldest of schemes, has come to conclusion. The mark of the beast from the father of lies, the angel of light, master of disguise. He's a devising a plan, preparing us now, and through evolution, convincing the crowd that aliens somehow are out there and bound to have all of the answers and power to know the solution. Like indigo children, smarter than humans, more intuition, much more evolved. They're sending a vision, prepare the whole world with a false explanation. If we're to evolve, we must remove Christians. They call it the cleansing, and this is their mission.
Evolve or die refers to whether humanity survives as a species. There is an enormous awakening happening on the planet.
The age of Aquarius, ending duality, Oprah the Secret and Eckhart Tolle preach what will bring in a new age reality, based in traditions of pagan theosophy, bound to be thousands of offshoots of Crowley, students of Alice B. Bailey, who followed the lies of Helena Blavatsky, radically altering, changing the pages of history, laying the groundwork forged by the tools of Lucifer, paving the way for the United Nations, a slow preparation
patiently waiting since the creation, a garden of Eden, a planet whose placement in time is persuaded by aliens, outside invasions, abductions, and cow mutilations, creating an atmosphere ripe for the picking with movies and Hollywood implanting trickery, mastery over the masses, the whole world collapses in panic, all desperate for someone to save them away, anyone that will answer their questions, the savior of sorts, a new age messiah, the wolf in sheep's clothing is what will transpire, the mayhem is out of control at this moment, a world full of chaos, confusion and torment, I'm telling you, don't stop at anything, you can't afford to face life without Christ as your king, the moment might come when the storms of reality, trapped in a world where it's actually happening.
That's one of my favorite quotes, that a significant portion of the Earth's population will soon recognize, if they haven't already done so, that humanity is now faced with a stark choice, evolve or die.
And we're back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle. We're back here with Kevin Wilkinson and Billy Painter. We did have a caller just a second ago. I'm sorry, I was trying to check with you during the break there. If we didn't get you, please call back in. We'll get you on the air with your question or comment. Brothers, did y'all have anything you wanted to throw into the mix here as we were getting into that subject of the 10 kings and the three being plucked up or crippled? Jump in.
Well, I think that one thing that people have to realize is, for lack of a better term, the dominoes are in place. And this is so close to taking place in our country. It's going to happen quickly. And people just really don't have the time or the luxury of the time to be complacent. I know I sound like a broken record this evening, but, you know, one of the things that the Lord put on my heart was the word urgency. And this was back in 2009. And this year, I mean, it's just urgency is paramount in our walk with Christ, in our awakening to what's going on around us. Time is running out, people, to really prepare yourselves mentally, physically, spiritually, because once the dominoes fall, once the dots are connected, you're not going to have a lot of time to contemplate what you're going to do. So take heed to what you hear this evening. As Pastor Dean said at the beginning of the show, this is not a show of doom and gloom. This is a show of information and hope. And it's also, and most importantly, a show that points you to Jesus. So take the time right now to get yourself and your house in order, because the things around you are about to change rapidly.
You know, and too, when we teach on this and talk on this so much that, you know, we don't want to give the impression that we're being, want you to be complacent. You know, we want you to be in the know. We want to provide knowledge and get right with God and lead people to Jesus. And, mm-hmm. You know, even though this is foretold in the Bible, we don't want you to ever go, okay, well, it's got to happen, so there's nothing I can do about it. So la-di-da, la-di-da. No, it's a teaching opportunity to get you to become closer and more intimate with God and to lead people to Jesus, so we can take people to heaven with us.
Amen.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's a tool that God has given us to preach on the end times and to teach on the end times. And we don't want ever, for anyone to ever get complacent in that teaching. If you, especially those of you that have listened to us for quite a long time, You know, don't ever get the attitude of, well, it's got to happen, nothing I can do about it. You know, the thing is you've got to lead people to Jesus and use the information that we're putting out there. You know, yes, America is must fall for the world government to come into place, but it's no reason to live in fear. It's a reason to teach people and to prepare people for what's coming.
Amen.
Well,
Well, listen, we have a caller here on the line. Let's take that call. Let's see here, 706 area code. Who are we speaking with tonight?
Dean, this is Michael. Michael Ryan.
Hey, brother.
How are you?
I'm good.
I was just going to say, I was on a listen earlier, a couple of things. The love the show, and I was going to just say that I don't know, you led me to Christ 20-something years ago. And I know that the things that we were looking at back then and some of the dreams you had and some of the prophecies we were talking about has come to pass before our eyes. And actually, I was there the night about the Ouija board girl, by the way. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. You were there.
Yeah. So, but we're sitting here. We're trying to spread the word and get people around here to listen to it. But, I mean, it's just right on. I feel the anointing coming across. Y'all are doing well. But, I mean, it's just... people need to get ready and pay attention and realize it's not a fairy tale. I mean, this is real. I mean, the Holy Spirit's been on me the last 24 hours. I've been witnessing to people and witnessing to an atheist and Mormon today. And I don't know. It's just telling me, you know, the time is short, you know. And like I said, it's telling us the same thing, so people better listen. I mean, they really do.
Amen, brother. That's awesome. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you calling in. I forgot about that, though, that you were with us that night, that the girl played with the Ouija board and manifested demons in the church.
Yeah, there's a lot more to that. Well, I'll talk to you about it off the air. But I remember remember that night. I mean, yeah, I remember exactly when it happened. But, I mean, it's true, you know. You know, demons will bow in the name of Jesus. But the thing is, people don't realize that that stuff's not toys.
That's right.
Know? And they get involved in that, and they do it, and... because, you know, I was talking to Marie. I said, until I got saved, you could not convince me that stuff like that was real. I thought they were idiots, you know, because I thought that. But, you know, it's real. You know?
That's right, man.
But
well,
anyway,
man,
I'm going to let you go. But everything, you know, y'all are doing great, and just keep it up. I don't know if you talked any more about the Antichrist there, but if you do, that'd be great. Got some people here listening, know more about that.
Amen.
You know, but I know you already had several shows about that, but if you want to talk a little about that, you can if you have time. But anyway, we love you. And y'all
love
doing
you too,
great.
Brother. All right, man.
All right,
thanks for the call. All right, good
all
night.
Right,
praise God. That was a good friend for many, many years. That, yes, he was a little bit younger than me and got saved, led him to the Lord years ago, Michael. And, yeah, he was there for a lot of the powerful things that Jesus did in those early days. But, man, I appreciate y'all listening. I appreciate you calling in. You know, he mentioned the desire to want to kind of go into a little bit about the Antichrist and why I mentioned the Jordanian thing. And I know we probably have some listeners who out there tonight who are not familiar with why I say that. But let's just suffice it to say that the Bible has always been very clear in the book of Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 10 alludes to it. Of course, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 7 talks about him, Daniel chapter 11. And, of course, the New Testament passages, 2 Thessalonians 2 and so on in the book of Revelation. But we do know that the Bible says that he would be of Arab descent. That's a given. In the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 10 and other places, it talks about that he would make a peace treaty with Israel that would have to do with dividing the land. Now, nowhere, this is what's amazing, nowhere does it say that he's the negotiator necessarily of the peace treaty. It says the peace treaty is made with him. Well, once you realize that Israel has to sign a peace treaty with a country that divides the land of Israel, it really narrows down where the Antichrist can come from. And, of course, this is in Daniel chapter 9. It's in Daniel chapter 8 and 11, talks about them making a treaty with him. Well, when you narrow it down, we know that now we can look and see that once Israel became a nation in 1948, that Bible prophecy was fulfilled, Isaiah 11, Ezekiel 36.
especially Isaiah 11, because it said when Israel would come back to the nations the second time after a second dispersion, they would be brought back to the land a second time and become a nation, an ensign is what the King James says, and they would be assigned to the nations of the world. And so we know that when they were brought back to the land, now we know that the issue about dividing the land here in the last days is the Palestinian issue, to divide out Gaza and the West Bank to be a Palestinian state. When you do a little bit of research into who are the Palestinians, you realize that you're dealing with a group of people who aren't really a created people. They were really Jordanian refugees and Egyptian refugees in the land after the 67 war. And you see that that they don't have a language. There's not an original language. There's not an original culture or anything of that nature. What you discover is that the majority of the Palestinians live in Jordan, for that matter, and are Jordanians. And then it gets a little, it narrows down. Who possessed the West Bank before the 67 war when the Arabs attacked Israel and Israel beat them down and took back more land, took land from the Golan Heights and the West Bank? Well, they took the Golan Heights from Syria and they took the West Bank region from the Jordanians. So the Jordanians were really the issue in the West Bank. Well, we know later in the 80s that the Jordanian government, basically the Jordanians who were in Israel or in the disputed territory, the Jordanians revoked their Jordanian citizenship and created a group of refugees, and they just called them the Palestinians. So whenever you hear the term Palestinian, you're really talking about a Jordanian, for the most part. I know there's some that are Egyptians and there's some that are from different countries, but the bottom line is the majority are Palestinians. And this is why when you come over into the peace process, when our Secretary of State John Kerry was going over there in April and May, and they were really pushing hard to negotiate this treaty, the two-state solution to make Gaza and the West Bank a Palestinian state, the reason in the beginning especially, he went to Amman, Jordan over and over and over again. He stated in the Jerusalem Post, he stated in Ynet News, this was all of the news media, I have the articles, I saved them, where he said Jordan is key to the peace process. He said Jordan is, we cannot have the peace without Jordan. And when you realize that it is the Hashemite family, or the descendants of Muhammad, the direct descendants of Muhammad, the Hashemite family, the Jordanian royal family, the dynasty there, that are looked at by Islam as the guardians of the Islamic holy places, and you know that they consider Jerusalem and the Temple Mount one of their holy places, when you realize that, then you understand that we really have to narrow this down to the country of Jordan being involved in this issue. So this is just one of the reasons that I believe that the scriptures are clear that the Antichrist will be a Jordanian. Of course, even within Islam, their beliefs is the Imam Mahdi, or the Islamic Messiah figure that's going to rule for 7 or 8 years, that's going to kill Christians and Jews eventually and take over Jerusalem for them. I mean, he's the exact description of the Antichrist in the Christian Bible, right? Well, they believe he has to be a direct descendant of Muhammad. Well, there's only one family on the face of the earth that can prove they're a direct descendant of Muhammad from his daughter Fatima, and that is the Hashemites. And the Hashemites are in the country of Jordan. So I personally believe that there's one man on the face of the earth right now who fits the description. Now, is there a chance he may not be there? It's someone else close to him or some situation that we don't know about just yet. Yes, I'm saying there is a slight sliver of a chance that it might be someone else. But there is one man that fits the mold of a peacekeeper, of a man who's tried to negotiate a peace treaty and be involved in a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians to create a Palestinian state since the 90s. He's written extensively books about it. He's into interfaith dialogue and bringing the three great religions together. And he has won peace awards from Japan. Many countries have named him, the Prince of Peace. And matter of fact, this is amazing. In 2008, after he won the Japanese Peace Award. This man was called by an article done by him in Christianity Today. He was called the Peace Building Prince. I thought, oh my gosh. You couldn't get more. I'm like, do they realize what they're writing? You know, the Bible tells us that he will be a prince. That'll be his title. He will first come and by peace destroy many. He would be in line to be a king, and that would be refused him, but later he would take the kingdom by flatteries. We know that in 1999, the man I'm speaking of, Prince El Hassan bin Talal, was the from 1965 to 1999, he was the crown prince, meaning he was the heir to the throne of the Jordanian throne. When his brother died in 1999 of cancer, he was supposed to assume the throne, but right before his brother died, he changed the succession and put in his son Abdullah. And so we see him not receiving the honor of the kingdom. That's a great hint from the book of Daniel about the man of sin, the Antichrist. What I'm getting at is the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. The Bible speaks of, I shared it a few weeks ago, in the book of Amos, in the book of Joel, in the book of Isaiah. It all talks about, there's a specific, even the book of Jeremiah, toward the end, it talks about a special judgment on the Moab, Ammon, and Edom region. Well, if today, if you look at, there's only one country that takes up the old region of Ammon, Moab, and Edom, and that is the country of Jordan. And those are end-time judgments spoken about in Isaiah, in Amos, in the book of Joel, and in the book of Isaiah. So, again, we've done this extensively on other shows, getting into that stuff, but know this, that if we're going to be biblical about it, the biblical characteristics of the Antichrist, he is Middle Eastern, but he will have favor with the Europeans. Of course, we know that Prince Hassan graduated from Oxford in England. We know that he was president of the Club of Rome, which is out of Italy. You don't become president of an elite club of kings, queens, and presidents and wealthiest people in the world. You're not the president of their most elite club unless you are looked at them as something very special. And he was president of the Club of Rome from, 1999 until 2007. So you're talking about 8 years there. He was president of the Club of Rome. Amazingly, the Club of Rome, you know what they want to do? They want to break the world up into 10 regions and create a world government. Imagine that. And that man was the president of that club for 8 years.
It's a lot of connected dots.
Oh, yeah. I want to make sure everyone understands that, Kevin here is my witness. He was with me when I was really digging into this because we were working together, and I was doing a lot of it while we were in the truck going from one job to the other, and I'm going through on my phone researching this guy. I spent several years researching this, really since 2011, researching Prince Hassan bin Talal of Jordan, and looking at all of his extensive resume and speeches. I've listened to speeches, and I'm just saying, to me, as a minister of the gospel, as someone who studied the Bible for almost 30 years now, I can say beyond any shadow of a doubt, he is the number one candidate. He fits the criteria, the biblical characteristics. Obama does not. He really doesn't fit all the biblical characteristics. And frankly, listen, folks, as much as they loved Obama in Europe in the beginning, they don't now. The Arabs will never follow Obama. You have to have a man that can unite the peoples of the world and has spent a lifetime building a resume to do just that, to end up being the Antichrist. So that's why I'm just telling you, there's many other reasons why we rule out Obama as the Antichrist. You can go on to all your Anunnakin and all your Egyptian statues that look like Obama and all that nonsense. I go by the Bible first and foremost, and that's what I say. You know, and people can disagree, and we can still love each other. It's no big deal, but we'll find out real soon, though.
That's right.
What were you going to say,
Bill? That's very true. Very, very true. Soon we shall find out.
Oh, yeah. Well, two, let me add this. I guess you were talking about YouTube there. We have, I guess it's not quite 2 hours, but it's about an hour and 45 minutes video on YouTube called The Antichrist Revealed, where I go into this in depth, and you get to see the slides, the PowerPoint slides, and even a short video of Prince Hassan with Bill Clinton when they were negotiating the Oslo Accords, the first ever peace treaty between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And he was there on the White House lawn with, I believe it was Shimon Peres of Israel at the time, and it was Prince Hassan, of course, representing Jordan because, of course, his brother was sick at the time. So there's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of things to be seen. So just go on YouTube. If you want to get the get more information about this, go to YouTube. Type in Dean, D-E-A-N-O-D-L-E, and look up The Antichrist Revealed. It is worth the hour and 45 minutes or whatever it is. It's worth it if you want to really see the biblical characteristics of the Antichrist and the one man on earth that fits that description to the letter. But, of course, that brings us back to why I knew. Somebody said the other day that, you know, they commented on Facebook, and he's a good guy, this guy that made this comment. He said, well, it looks like ISIS' next target is Jordan. And he said something about expecting Jordan to fall, and, you know, their next step would be to go into Israel. But that's just not the way the end time events are going to play out. ISIS, I said, their biggest mistake will be stepping into Jordan because that ain't part of the plan. And so they will be taken out once they move in that direction, I assure you. And, of course, we know these guys threatened Israel with a nuclear attack and said, you know, basically hinted at the fact that they got weapons from Pakistan. And I thought, oh, don't threaten Israel with a nuclear attack because they actually have nuclear weapons, hundreds of them. You may have a bomb from 1965 that you stole from somewhere, but they actually have a missile to deliver it. So I'd be careful who I threaten.
Isn't the guy that's the head of ISIS, wasn't he released recently from Guantanamo Bay prison?
Prison in Iraq.
Prison in Iraq.
Yeah, I can't remember the name, but it was a prison in Iraq, yeah.
So that just, you know, okay, what's our government doing to further the one world government by releasing these guys that are obviously going to come back and haunt us with attacks and, you know, nuclear weapons and whatnot that on our own soil, let alone our interest abroad. So that's just, it's just an interesting caveat that our government is complicit in releasing these guys that are now wreaking havoc again.
Oh, definitely. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Also, to the fact that whenever we would go over to the Middle East and then we would leave an area after we have turned it over to a new, quote-unquote, democratic government, we'd leave all of our play toys there. Of course, the democratic, quote-unquote, governments would fall. The insurgencies would come back in, the extremists, and they have all these nice little weapons to use. Against whom? Against other people to further the chaos. And that just falls back into line with order out of chaos, which is something that radical Muslims and the Illuminati use as their calling card. And that's really, you know, if you think about it, they want to create order out of chaos. And that seems to be the main dish on the plate as we speak.
Amen. Amen. Well, listen, we're going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back for the last part of the show. If you're out there listening, we want you to know you're listening to Prophecy Quake here on Blog Talk Radio. We'd love to have your call. If you want to call, you've got about 20 minutes or so to get your call in and your question or your comment. 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. 884-8566. Long before they called it hyper grace, the Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, one of the greatest hindrances to genuine revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival, today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin. Bible prophecy, current events, and prophetic revelation. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind, peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law. Such is a world worthy of our struggle and worthy of our children's future. Now we can see a new world coming into view, a world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order. In the words of Winston Churchill, a world order in which the principles of justice and fair play protect the weak against the strong. A world where the United Nations, freed from Cold War stalemate, is poised to fulfill the historic vision of its founders.
Our constitutional journey did not stop then, and it must not stop now, Judge. And we'll be faced with equally consequential decisions in the 21st century. Can a microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement? There's actual discussion about that. You will rule on that, mark my words, before your tenure is over. Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior? You will rule on that. And Judge, I need to know whether you will be a justice who believes that the constitutional journey must continue to speak to these consequential decisions, or that we've gone far enough in protecting against government intrusion into our autonomy, into the most personal decisions we make. Judge, that's why this is a critical moment.
are back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, along with Billy Painter and Kevin Wilkinson. I hope you have been blessed this evening. Of course, we see people also in our chat room. If you have a question or comment, Pastor Kevin can chat with you in between here, so you're welcome to use that. Also, still, we welcome your calls, comments, questions at 347-884-8566. 347-884-8566. You are more than welcome to call in with a question or a comment. Anyway, let's continue on our discussion tonight. I know some people are probably catching us a little late, but what we've been talking about tonight is the soon attack on America. America being crippled and brought under control of the United Nations. A lot of people think that's a fairy tale. They think that's a myth. They think it's a conspiracy theory. But I can tell you from my study of Bible prophecy and history and current events, and particularly over the last several decades, I can tell you for a fact that this is quickly coming to pass. It will be a reality. For those of you listening out there, Pastor Billy talked about an article, and this is in the New American. And this article, thenewamerican.com, is the article about dictators worldwide demand aid, empowered UN, and global socialism. And if you read this article, and I want to say, please read this entire article. If you have any doubts that the goal of, now this is the G77 that they talk about here, these 77 nations that had this summit with the blessings and presence of the Secretary General of the UN, Ban Ki-moon, this is two-thirds of the countries of the world. So if they ever can change the UN veto power that's in the five, in the Security Council, if they can ever get that revoked and simply move to a majority vote at the UN, you have to understand that the United States, Russia, the United States will never win another vote at the UN. You understand that? If Europe wants to go away, look at all the countries in Europe. I forget how many are in the European Union now, 27, 28, whatever it is. Think about it. Think about the Arab countries. Think about the socialistic countries, the countries with dictators. If you think about that, there will always be a vote to benefit them, always. And that's what this thing is talking about. When it's talking about empowering the UN, freeing them from the Cold War stalemate, as Bush 41 said in that clip we played a minute ago. What they're talking about is freeing the UN to become a world government by getting rid of the veto power, by getting the United States out of that situation where we can't veto something, or Russia can't veto something, or China can't veto something. They want a simple majority. Let me just tell you something. The United States of America, beyond people's wild imaginations, we're not a democracy. We are a republic. Now, what a republic means, the difference between a republic and a democracy is simple. A democracy is mob rule. The majority rules, okay? But in a republic, you have a founding document that is the rule of law, and that no one, not even the majority, can go against that ruling document. And so you do have a democracy within a republic, but once the democracy becomes the number one issue, then the republic, it can be overthrown. And you will lose certain basic rights and freedoms, and that's what's about to happen. So what the UN's talking about doing is just creating a democracy in the sense of mob rule. Well, as we know from the days of slavery and from the days of the Dark Ages, that the mob's not always correct, right? They're not always correct when they want to lynch you, or they want to mob you, or they want to burn you at the stake. I mean, there was a day the Roman Catholic Church, they were the majority in certain places and countries, and what did they do? Well, if you didn't agree with them, or you spoke something they didn't like, or you had something they wanted, they would trump up charges against you and bring you before a tribunal, an inquisition, the inquisitor, and then if, you know, it didn't matter whether you were guilty or innocent or anything, if they wanted you gone, you were gone. You were burned at the stake if you were not tortured for days and weeks before that, and you were burned at the stake, or you were hung, or you were beheaded. Of course, that was the choice during the French Revolution.
So bottom line, folks, is mob rule is not the way that we should go. But that is the way of that the UN wants. And I couldn't believe this article. I mean, I'm telling you, if you haven't read this, go to thenewamerican.com and go into their little search engine and type in United Nations, and that article will be one of the first ones that come up about the world dictators getting together and saying how they want to create a new world order to live well. I mean, come on. Yeah, I want to be under a dictator, but let me just give you guys a little secret. The beast in Revelation, you know, because we talked about the rise of the beast. The beast in Revelation 13 that rises up out of the sea, that has, you know, the mouth of a lion and the feet of the bear and the body of the leopard, and it has seven heads and ten horns. That's a grotesque looking thing. I mean, it's showing this conglomeration of nations, this coming together of the world, this rising up. It's a gradual process. It's rising up out of the sea. And you see all the different parts working. Well, by the end of the book of Revelation, in Revelation 17, when we see this same beast with seven heads and ten horns, it doesn't talk about it having the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. It says it's red. Do you hear what I'm saying? Meaning it has transformed itself from this multi-nation, multicultural, multi-voting, whatever. It's changed itself into a full socialistic, communistic, red dictatorship where one man will be in control. We are headed that way. You know, a lot of people don't even know that the man who founded the UN, who wrote the charter and wrote the constitution or whatever you want to call it of the UN, Alger Hiss, most people don't know that he was a communist. He was a traitor. He was finally exposed and arrested by the U.S. as a Soviet spy. Even the emblem of the UN was, especially the initial one, was made to resemble at the time the emblem of the Soviet Union. It has always been the goal to create a communistic one world government and dictatorship that redistributes the wealth, that controls what you do, what you say, where you live, what you, how, even, of course, from what the Bible shows us, how and what you worship. No man will be able to buy or sell unless he takes the mark of the beast and worships him. You know what the mark of the beast, worshiping the beast? A lot of people say, well, I'll never bow down and worship a government or worship a man. You already do. If you pledge allegiance to a man, to a government, you are worshiping. The reason that the United States Pledge of Allegiance is different because we say, what? One nation under God, right? We say under God. We only do this under God, not under ourselves, not just under this. That's why they want all the God removed from everything. But the pledge is coming, and that's why, you know, I have a quote from George Herbert Walker Bush, our former president, and he said, from henceforth, he was speaking before the United Nations, and he said, from henceforth, we pledge our allegiance to the United Nations and to the principles of the United Nations Charter. No, sir, I do not pledge allegiance to that beast that's rising up out of the sea. I do not pledge allegiance to that thing that's going to become a communistic, socialistic, totalitarian dictatorship that's going to rule on what I can do, what I can say, what I can worship, what I can buy and sell. Folks, that's where we're headed. And the United States, hear me, American, hear me, Christian, the United States will be brought under this. If you read Revelation 13, it says something interesting about this seven-headed beast with the ten horns. And it says when that man rises up speaking great things and blasphemies, when that Antichrist takes over, it says power will be given to him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. All. Last time I looked up all in the Greek, it meant all.
Amen.
All kindreds, tongues, and nations. That means you, America. Now you say, well, what do I do? What do I need to do? Well, I alluded to it earlier. I mentioned it earlier. First thing you need to do is get humble before God. Admit you are a sinner and that your sins have contributed to the defiling of the land of America, on bringing God's judgment and wrath on America, on opening the doors to our enemies. It's not somebody out there. We have all sinned and contributed to this defilement, to this fall of our nation that's coming. I don't know a Christian alive that hasn't been lukewarm, that hadn't had the idol of entertainment in their lives, or dealing with lust or sexual sin in their lives, or making excuses for drinking and drunkenness, or smoking dope, or being on pills. I'm telling you, the church, now the church is saying homosexuality is okay, or homosexual marriage is okay. It's none of it's a big deal. Folks, we have contributed. So the first thing, if you want to see any deliverance, any hope to make it to heaven and to know that you're under the hand and the covering of God Almighty, you better confess your sins and get yourself humble real quick and say, I'm a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross for my sins, that you rose from the dead the third day, that I don't deserve your forgiveness, but Lord, forgive me and help me change. Help me turn away from my drunkenness or my sexual immorality or my pornography or my lust, my anger, my hatred, my racism, my unbelief, my laziness, my lukewarm, just false, hypocritical Christianity. Help me turn away from that. And Lord, have mercy on my country and begin to pray like you've never prayed before, for God's mercy in the midst of judgment. The second thing you need to do is to make sure that you're not just praying for fire insurance from hell, but make sure that you are born again, yet you have a supernatural encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only a lot of people that pray prayers, but they're never born again. So make sure you are born again and you start a walk and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And thirdly, you need to prepare physically, financially. You got money in the bank, got money in the stock market. If you want to use it for something that's going to be actually helpful, you better do it quickly before that U.S. dollar is nothing more than monopoly money and worthless. And you better do it quick. And I would say get you some extra food, get you some extra water, get you some way to purify water, get you some way to have light in your home if there's no power for days on end or weeks on end. Do some preparation before it is too late. Listen, it's a serious matter. So we have definitely run out of time tonight. Boy, it has slipped up on us here. We are out of time. But I want to say this before we get out of here. If you need to contact us, if you want to call us, of course, go to deanodle.org, D-E-A-N-O-D-L-E, .org, or fireandgracechurch.org. You can email us. You can call us. But it's been good to be with you. You've been listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle with Pastor Kevin Wilkinson and Billy Painter. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries.